But I know you wanted to expound on this Aaron Rodgers, Hassan Reddick agent comment on McAfee that Jerry played earlier. We kind of ran out of time. So interesting comments from the quarterback.
Well, I do remember when The Athletic wrote an article in the preseason talking about how the Jets locker room was a mess and Aaron Rodgers was selfish, essentially. And, you know, he's not a good teammate. And I remember that then saying, that sounds like it came from Hassan Reddick's agent. But, you know, that's a disgruntled guy who's not in the locker room, who's trying to, you know, upset the Jet locker room and team. And I would say watching the Jets and watching Aaron Rodgers' interaction with his teammates on the field, I think everybody's happy. And that's what winning does for you. So when Aaron Rodgers says that on McAfee yesterday, that maybe Hassan Reddick has changed agents, I don't know if he has or not, but I kind of feel like that's Aaron digging at that agent saying, you know, maybe you need to get a new agent, Hassan. But now here's the thing about Hassan Reddick. According to reports, he's already lost over $8 million in fines, which essentially is half his salary, I think. In order for him to eat up this season and become a free agent next year, he has to be on the roster for at least 6 games.
So, or he's in the same situation next year, right, with the contract that he's not playing, with a year older and having missed an entire season.
So exactly.
He's a less attractive person to sign to a long-term deal.
So eventually this will come to a head for him if he wants to get this contract over with and this year over with and actually add a year to his pension benefits.
Yeah.
So whether he does that around game 10 or 11.
You know what that would be like?
That'd be like making a trade at the trade deadline, yeah, and getting somebody significant. But then again, I don't know what kind of playing shape he's going to be in. I don't know if he's going to try to protect himself. I don't know if he's going to let it all hang out. Usually, if you do that, you end up getting hurt. So I hope wherever he is that he is working hard, he's working out, and if he does come back to the Jets, that he's in shape. And the Jets are not going to cave in this situation, nor should they. Because they would be setting a precedent that every player on that roster would try to do the same thing. And
yeah,
you can't give in.
You don't normally see this. This is not like the Le'Veon Bell situation. We said many times that was a franchise tag. He never signed, so he wasn't getting fined. And it wasn't one of those situations like we just talked about games played and accrued and all of that. He just wasn't on the roster. He wasn't a signed player, where Hassan Reddick is. So this is unique that it's gone this deep into the season where he's getting fined and not showing up and neither side is caving. But you know, for the Jets, it's all about, you know, let's build off of the Patriot win and beat a Broncos team that we're supposed to beat. And then we don't have to worry about this Hassan Reddick situation. I mean, until Aaron Rodgers brought up his name in that interview and we heard it, Jerry playing it, I hadn't thought about him in weeks because it's like, he's not here. Doesn't matter. Not here. Now, by the way, just a little quirk in the Jets' schedule. So they play Sunday 1 o'clock this week.
Yes.
You want to know the next time they play Sunday 1 o'clock?
It's probably like 6 weeks from now.
December 1st.
Okay.
December 1st!
That's why I was saying that this game this week is great for the Jet fan. You get to have a normal Sunday tailgate, the whole thing like you would normally like to do. And hopefully the game is over by 4:30 and you're home by at least 11 o'clock at night.
yes, right. By the way, I'll be at the Tap Room in Huntington watching that game starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday, Jets and Broncos. So, yeah, it's a unique situation there with Hassan Reddick and the Jets. But at this point, I want them to play so well that they don't even think about him and he just looks like a fool. I mean, that's really what you're hoping for.
I want their best team on the field. And if I were one of his teammates, I'd want him there. I'd want him to be there and understand that the Jets are not caving, you know, and they're not going to try to make anything or anybody look good because he doesn't look good. But the interesting thing about all of this, now they lost Jermaine Johnson. But if you remember what Rob Saleh was saying, I'm coaching up the guys that are here, essentially, and guys are now going to have opportunities to show themselves. And who has benefited the most?
Will McDonald.
Exactly. And what has he done?
Well, he's been produced.
He has been producing. And you know, that's what you want. And you couldn't ask for a better situation if you're Will McDonald, because maybe you don't get all these plays. I'm not sitting here saying that he's playing all world. I'm just telling you that he's been productive. He's gotten sacks. He's made plays. He's been fast. He's been quick. And I think he's everything that they thought that they were getting when they drafted him.
Yes. And it took a long time, but he's starting to show signs, which is huge for, I mean, Joe Douglas's legacy as a GM, too, by the way, because that was looking like another one of these big busts.
I just want to do some football here for a second, BT, before we get back to the Mets. Of course, Yankees have a chance to clinch tonight. Mets, as of now, scheduled to play a game in Atlanta and a game where they're trying to rebound after losing last night. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. I did not. Apparently, there was an article on the Jets and the disarray that's going on.
I saw this, yep.
Okay, and he was asked about this. Rodgers was asked about this on Pat McAfee yesterday. This is how he responded.
How's everybody handling it?
I would say the culture is about the opposite of what that article said.
No.
I didn't read the article, but just reading that headline there, sounds like it was written by Hassan Reddick's agent in a way to... So former agent, I guess, possibly, in a way to try and disparage our great organization.
Whoa. So I did not hear that. First of all, what was the disarray article?
It was an older article.
Oh, okay.
I was remember with the whole mini camp when he went to Egypt. There was nothing about like where the Jets are now.
It's months ago. So we didn't miss it. It just happened months ago.
No.
So then is that even then relative to where he's at with Reddick now?
It's interesting that he put Reddick's name in his mouth. I mean, that's pretty rare where you kind of dip your toe into somebody else's business like that.
And he also alluded to, he said, former agent, possibly soon. So maybe he knows something.
That was interesting. Good. Whatever it takes to get him in. We need him.
Wow. How about Rodgers having to, he's not afraid of anything. And by the way, I'm listening to sound bites throughout the course of the day. Like Rodgers meeting the media today. That clip was from McAfee yesterday. But meeting the media today, I don't know if I've ever been in love more with a New York sports athlete than Rod. The guy just gets it all.
He's so in charge. Now, sometimes, and we've had these conversations, is he too in charge?
Yeah.
That's more of a above him thing.
Well, it's not his fault Sala's inept.
And it's not his fault they gained the power. I mean, if somebody bestowed that kind of power on me, I'd take it as well. As long as you don't abuse it. And he doesn't seem to abuse it. I think he's well-liked. I think from a football perspective, what's probably most appealing to me is that he just looked bouncy. He looked a little quicker than I've seen him look in a long time. I can't wait for this game against Denver.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Hoff and I think you're going to go out there. I know you're going to be home. You got all the trips going on. What's your next trip, by the way? You get the Steelers Sunday night. I know we're talking about that potentially.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. It's traveling is a lot. Even going to these games like last Thursday night, you can't see what's going on necessarily. It's hard.
So I go to a few a year. I don't want to go to every game.
I'm going to do the Giants tomorrow and then potentially the Jets on Sunday, and then that'll be a wrap for me. Every game will be at home. And we got the postseason baseball coming up. But yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear Rodgers call out Reddick, or at least Reddick's agent there. Maybe it'll get things moving here, because it'll be a nice jolt when they do get Reddick back. Right now, everything's going well for him.
Yeah.
And he was talking today about dealing with, not adversity, which the Jets have dealt with, but handling prosperity well, something the Jets haven't dealt with. Rodgers dealt with
funny.
That. Yeah. But that'll be the toughest challenge for this team, handling prosperity.
I think it's a challenge for anybody. Number one, I think the toughest thing is to just elevate like a moribund franchise from just inadequate and inept to competent and respectable. That is a tough jump that is elusive for so many teams. I mean, hell, it's been elusive for the Jets for 13, 14 years, Giants as well, outside of 2022. But then I think the even tougher, the bigger step, and this eludes so many, is once you become respectable and competent and competitive, how do you take the next step and deal with now the accolades and the expectations? And that's what he's talking about.
Nick is calling from Woodbridge, New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. Just a quick Yankee point on Gleyber Torres. So I've been watching the Yankees for 31 years, as long as I can remember. There's not a more frustrating baseball player I've seen than Gleyber. And I know Verdugo had a bad game last night, but Gleyber crosses that game with another mental error that we see every week. They should bench him tonight, whether it's for Birdie or Waldo, whoever it is. But I hope that's the last mistake we see from Gleyber and pinstripes, but it probably won't be.
Yeah.
And we had a chance last night to win that game with Judge or Wells up, and he totally...
We lost you there, Nick.
I mean, listen, they had a few... That was in the seventh inning. They had a few other innings to win the game. Doesn't help when you give up an absolute moonshot the next inning when all the momentum was gone and it goes from 4-3 to 5-3. They're not going to bench him. They're not going to bench him because they've shown no evidence that they're going to, I know they did bench him for a minute this year, actually.
Yeah.
But over the years, they've allowed this to fester. And that's the biggest issue. That's my biggest gripe with Aaron Boone. Because I've defended Aaron more than others. Now, my gripes have been more on the Cashman stuff, as you guys well know. I don't understand how you can't drop this at Aaron Boone's doorstep. But like, we talked to Susan, and you know, Boone talks about how he really just wants to be loved, and he really cares about the game, and he cares about the sport. I believe that, but I'm not inside your head. I'm not a valve next to your heart. I don't see your heart ticking. I don't know what's in your heart. So all I can do is react to what you do on the field, and what you do too often is check out and be emotionally vacant. And that's a problem.
But benching him, to me, would make no sense. Why would you bench a player?
They're not going to bench him now because he's hitting as well.
What? But I'm saying, why would you bench a player in general?
Well, you bench him to send the message. Okay. They already did that, and he's doing it again.
Do you think benching Gleyber Torres?
No.
Oh, now I get it, coach.
No.
I can't do that.
Nope.
Like, there's nothing you could do. He is what he is. Yeah. You got to move on from him.
Ship has sailed.
They didn't do it. And now they're going to cross their fingers and hope it doesn't come back to bite them in the postseason when it does, that it doesn't cost them a game or a series.
Sal, you've got one chance, whether it's as a parent or as a coach in this instance, during the formative years, really, to try to create a template of expectation, what's acceptable, what will not be tolerated. And the Yankees too often tolerated what should never be tolerated. And here he is, 27 years of age. He's not changing.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We come back. We'll have more of your calls, 888-808-1019. Also, we have to revisit for the final time, with just 5 games to go, where we're at with the BT and Sal over-unders. I actually don't know where it's at. I haven't looked at it. We're going to have hot take. I don't.
Yeah.
I know where we're at.
But you know.
Time.
You kind of have a sense.
I don't. Have you looked it up?
I have a sense.
I look forward then to revisiting this when we come back.
But tell me if this matters or not. Breaking news about Hassan Reddick, okay? ML Football, the first to report it.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time all year.
It's in the building.
Fanatics is selling his jersey.
Oh.
A number 7 New York Jets Hassan Reddick jersey.
Yeah, that's news.
It has not been on sale until today.
Ruben's in the know.
He knows?
Of course, he knows everything.
And so this is how we're going to find out that the Jets have either gone backwards or Reddick has gone backwards. They've bent the knee, if you will, to make a new contract, is because now you can buy a jersey?
Yeah. I would now believe it. I would now think that it's going to happen.
I didn't think you were going to buy it.
I mean, I shouldn't, but I know Michael Rubin. I know he's in the know.
Wow.
So,
Jet fans, you just heard it from Tiki.
You heard it from Michael Rubin.
I know, but you believe it.
I believe it because Michael Rubin knows everybody.
I do have one other question for my fellow Jet fans. Like, it's really cool that Hassan Reddick's jersey is now being sold on Fanatics, and that probably is a good sign because I believe Tiki. But who in their right mind, walk me through this, who in their right mind, if you're a New York Jet fan,
nobody.
When you've got Garrett Wilson you could buy, Breece Hall you could buy, Aaron Rodgers you could buy, Quinnen or Quincy Williams you could buy, Sauce you could buy. We have a lot of good jersey options.
Right.
Who is buying a Hassan Reddick Jets jersey?
Nobody.
Nobody.
One, because they don't even know who the hell he is. Right? They know his name,
right,
but they don't know who he is. So you're going to show up and have a Hassan Reddick jersey on, and then he's not any good for you, and then he leaves next year anyway?
And then he's gone.
Right? So it just doesn't make any sense.
That'll be a collector's item. Well, it would be one of those like weird collector's items. It would be like having a Rasheed Wallace Hawks jersey. Mm. He was traded to the Hawks and then got waived.
Oh, geez.
That's like a collector's item, right?
Yeah.
A Dwight Howard Brooklyn Nets jersey. He got traded here and then they waived him.
Dwight Howard, I could see, because he was a great player.
Yeah, but not for my team.
No, but
he didn't
even
play for my team. Yeah, I question anybody who's going on Fanatics right now and buying a Hassan Reddick jersey.
But the fact that they are selling it is interesting.
There you go.
And for the New York Jets, who are going to take on the Broncos, and at the time what we felt was going to be a very easy game in Minnesota, anything but, as they are still one of the undefeated teams of this NFL, Sam Darnold in this offense, and obviously what Minnesota is doing defensively, with one of the best defensive coordinators in the sport looking to get his way back into the head coaching ranks in the NFL. These next two games leading up to that Buffalo game are going to, and this is what's fun about having Aaron Rodgers, and this is what's special about what this Jet team can be, because we haven't felt this way. I know there's been some times where the Jets have been fairly good, and last year off the game against Buffalo, and, you know, BT screaming, don't, you know, we're not dead, don't hang around like, you know, a bunch of losers. But this is legitimately right now. You are talking about, we are 2 weeks away from the first real taste of the New York Jets, Buffalo Bills battling for a division. And the Bills have two tough games coming up, which they haven't faced yet. The Ravens and Texans, both on the road, as the Jets will take on the Broncos at home and at Minnesota. And that will lead into the first pivotal game to decide whether or not, and the first real test. Now, again, Minnesota's been better. They're undefeated. Sam Darnold's been one of the talking points of the season. But after these 2 weeks, right, the easy part of the schedule we looked at with the Jets, we knew the 49ers were tough, and then we knew they had this easier part of the schedule before they hit that Buffalo game. And right now, Buffalo looks like not only the class of the division, but 3 weeks in, the class of the NFL. And they have the MVP playing quarterback. His ability to throw on the run, his athleticism, you add that with the way they're running the football right now, that is a dynamic offense, and they don't need a Malik Nabers. It'd be nice if they had one. They don't need a star wide receiver. Let's be honest, right now the Jets have one. It hasn't worked out. Defenses have tried to stop him, according to the Jets at least, and according to the quarterback, and he's been unable to get off to that dynamic start. But watching the Buffalo Bills last night, I would think a Jet fan would have to say to themselves, like, for the first time, and I know they've played well against Buffalo for the most part, and Allen has had some of his worst games against the Jets, including last year's season opener when Rodgers goes down and it felt like, how could you not beat Zach Wilson and the Jets? He's thrown the ball away. He's still prone to mistakes. Like, he's going to have to answer some of those questions, no doubt. And this Jet defense has always played well against Josh Allen. But for the first time watching that game, you could actually sit back as a Jet fan, watch them decimate the Jacksonville Jaguars, and look at it and say, all right, this is my competition, legit. This is the team I'm going to be battling for this division. This is the team that in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, should I say, I'm going to have to play to decide who's the class of this division halfway through the season. And just the idea that you know we are setting up for Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers. These next 2 weeks are now have to be hyper-focused. And I'm not saying look ahead. You can't look ahead. They can't look ahead. You have to make sure you take care of business ahead of what is that Buffalo game. And that's what I was thinking watching the game. As someone who's hyped on the Jets, and I know as a Giant fan, I've just never heard someone talk about the Jets so much as a Giant fan. Like, for some reason, I have to just hang in. I talk too much Giants. I talk too much Yankees. Then how dare you talk about the Mets? How you guys can't? I can't win with you. But this Jet team going up against this Bills team in 3 weeks, watching the way they're playing, and we saw Aaron Rodgers last week, it just feels like, man, I cannot wait for this matchup, and they better not stub their toe against the Broncos. They better give themselves a good game going into Minnesota against Sam Darnold, because the Bills have the Ravens and the Texans, and if they make it through those weeks, you are talking about a juggernaut heading through the AFC East, and it's all about winning this division, getting back into the playoffs, ending this 13-year drought, and watching Josh Allen play the way he played last night. It is setting up for one hell of a ride here and one hell of an interesting division. And unfortunately, Tua and the Dolphins, with the injury of kind of now, I mean, 3 points last week, playing a quarterback who has no right to be an NFL quarterback in Skylar Thompson, they have eliminated themselves from the conversation. This is a two-team race for the AFC East. And then we get to Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders and his breakout performance, where he was just incredible in this game. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23, 254 yards, 2 touchdown passes, multiple fourth down conversions, the unbelievable pass with the defender in his face for the go route to secure the victory and put it right and drop it right in the bucket for McLaren. Like, just the way he played, one, for the New York Giant fan, it makes you feel a little bit better about how you performed defensively, right? You want to build off that. Now suddenly the season feels a little bit different, right? You get blown out by Minnesota week one. Minnesota's one of the hottest teams in the NFL, taking care of business. Easy wins against Houston last week, you know, against the 49ers the week before. Suddenly you feel better about that loss. And then you talk about the Washington loss in week two, and you say, hey, all right, maybe he wasn't ready to make that jump yet. Maybe you caught him early enough in the season before he started to feel himself. But this is a team you didn't let in the end zone, and they went up and down the field against Cincinnati. That's another element to the Jets thing, if we're talking about just the overall playoff picture, that you can practically eliminate Cincinnati. You want to make it to the playoffs for the first time in 13 years, you can possibly eliminate the Bengals for any kind of real contention here at 0-3, falling apart and defensively getting absolutely overrun by the Washington Commanders, the Giants didn't allow a touchdown to 2 weeks ago. That's a tough division to fall behind 0-3. So that's why part of my open was the Jets, man. You've got the Bengals now 0-3, who are perceived to be one of the top teams in the AFC. You've got the Dolphins, who you're going to be battling with. A lot of people thought the Dolphins were going to win the division, who all their speed and all their talent means nothing if you can't get someone to distribute the football, and they don't have one. And, like, right now it's just set up. These two teams are going to battle for this division. They meet in 2 weeks. And the Jets are playing the Broncos and the Vikings, and the Bills are on the road for both the Ravens, who are 1-2, are going to be desperate for a win, and then the Houston Texans, who were, we know how talented they can be, despite a poor performance against the Vikings last week. So this is an opportunity for the Jets to be in a better position heading into that game against Buffalo, even though Buffalo right now is the early leader for best team in the NFL, and Josh Allen is the early leader for MVP. And that performance last night, I mean, they just had no chance. The Jags had no chance. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in East Rockaway. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you? You just made me laugh when you did that whole thing about Francesa hating the Sunday night football
thing. Yeah, that was very funny. Who's waiting around all day? I've been watching football all day. Who's waiting? Oh, yeah. Like, I had my TV off, sitting there twiddling my thumbs, waiting for Sunday night football.
I got to push back on you about one thing, though, bro.
Yeah.
The Jets have had quarterbacks since Namath.
Mm.
Mark Sanchez and Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny Testaverde for one season in 1998. Yeah, maybe. Mark Sanchez won them road playoff games, and you can't quibble with that. He's won a ton of road playoff games. They did that with their defense and their run game, and he just made enough plays. He wasn't going to win them football games. I'm sorry. He wasn't the likes of Rodgers and Allen. Like, he wasn't a generational talent that was going to lead you to 11, 12, 13 wins a year. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
And I'm getting all revved up about the Jets Bills game, but correct me if I'm wrong, don't the Jets play the Vikings overseas?
Yeah, I think, is that the game in London? Yes.
I'm afraid of some, you know, like, lag on the way back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's definitely a possibility. We've seen teams go there and be affected. We've seen teams go there and dominate and come back just fine. I mean, we will see. But, yeah, I mean, that's a tough week to then follow it up with Buffalo. That is fair. But I'm more concerned about not stubbing my toe or getting beat by a Vikings team that honestly has... Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold has been one of the, you know, surprises of the NFL this year. That Viking team has been one of the surprises of the... I mean, listen, look at their last two wins. They've taken down the Niners and the Texans, two of the top five preseason favorites to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, that would be perfect Jet irony that Sam Darnold beats them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, it's not... I mean, and thank you for the call. That would be perfect Jet irony. But, like, that's what I'm talking about. That comment right there is why they need Aaron Rodgers and they need to win. Like, we need to get away from perfect Jet irony, whatever that means. Like, there are a bunch of failed quarterbacks in this league, right? The Jets are not alone in the idea that a quarterback has failed and then found success in other places. Like, but that would be perfect Jet irony. I'm not knocking him. He's not wrong. But they need to get away from that. And the only way to do it is to win. Like, that's it. The Jets need to win for so many different reasons. It's more than just, you know, they owe it to the fans, or more than just, you know, that's the purpose of a franchise and that's how you make money and sell tickets. They need to win to wash the bad taste, not only out of Jet fans' mouth, but have like us as a collective NFL fan base, media, inner workings. Like, we just, the Jets need to just, they need a winning season to be the biggest intermezzo of all time. Right, we just need to wash and cleanse our palates of the stink of what the Jets have been for 13 years. And no, I'm sorry, you haven't had a quarterback. Not like this. I know Vinny could sling it with the best of them. You could probably roll out of bed today and throw the ball 60 yards. I get it. He's one of those arm strength, generational arm talents. But, and as good as they were in that 98 season, the next year, obviously, famously, he tears his Achilles and you never saw it again. And Chad Pennington won football games. Chad Pennington was a quarterback, you know, almost the opposite of Vinny Testaverde. No arm strength whatsoever, but could run that, you know, West Coast offense, could get the ball out quick, make smart decisions. Like, Pennington had good years. They had Brett Favre as one of the quarterbacks of the franchise. And then, obviously, although his hubris and not wanting to admit injury and keep his streak intact cost them, where they were 8-3 and ended up missing the playoffs. And then, obviously, yeah, Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez was a serviceable quarterback who, along with that defense, managed to not lose games. And that's probably unfair considering he beat Peyton Manning on the road. You know, he beat Tom Brady on the road. I mean, those are impressive victories, no doubt. But ultimately, you know, you weren't seeing quarterback play like you saw last week. Like, you just weren't. It's been a long freaking time.